Welcome to the Brew Knowledge Podcast, brought to you by Brewlogix. Once upon a time, all a successful craft brewery had to do was to make beer with color and flavor. Now, we have to educate and entertain our customers. Our next guest tells us how to pack your pub with patrons by creating excellent events no matter the size of your tap room. But first, Dan had another great question.
Hey everybody, welcome back to my favorite part of the episode. This is where I get a chance to ask my two favorite people and some of the favorite people, I guess. You're not two of the favorite people in my world, Jeremy Storton and Josh Lindsay. I get to ask them the hard-hitting questions that are just rolling around in my brain up here. So one thing I want to talk about this week is we all have experience with distribution, working on the distribution side of the industry here. And you guys have, you know, you've seen the growth, the boom that has happened, and also now kind of this plateau that's kind of came into place over the past few years. Maybe COVID's really kind of accelerated that a little bit. But Josh, I'm going to start with you. What are some trends that you've seen from a distribution side of things that have really affected the craft industry, the craft brewing? Maybe it's distribution, maybe it's specifically to a certain segment within the distribution. But what are some of the insights that you've seen kind of change over your time in distribution, and maybe now as you just kind of view it from a different seat in the industry?
Yeah, I think the distribution channel can be very fruitful for brands. It can also be a massive headache, and there's a lot of challenges that can come along with it as well. But just thinking about like what's changed, you know, I think in the earlier days, you had one less breweries. I think the important thing to think about when it comes to the distribution channel is the shelves aren't getting bigger. They're not adding more. If anything, we're fighting to just maintain, craft is fighting just to maintain the space that they do have. So as breweries continue to, or as more and more breweries continue to open in a hyper-local place, this at the same time, brewers were also expanding their footprint. So what happened was you had these little blooms that started to expand, and then other people's blooms expanded into that territory. And so it really just created this overwhelming selection of options. And, you know, we all love this industry. We eat, drink, breathe, you know, craft beer. But for a lot of buyers in the distribution channel, they may have somebody who specializes in that, but they're doing a lot of other things as well. And so everyone's trying to fight for their attention. And so, you know, they're taking the recommendations of their wholesale, they're taking convenience, they're taking into levels of service. So I guess really the key that I've seen is it used to be, hey, I'm this new craft brand, and buyers wanted you to be on their shelves. Now it's more like, okay, what is the level of service that you're going to be able to provide? Am I going to have to worry about out of stocks? What is your metrics? We won't nerd out too much. I'm sure Lester had a lot of really great things to share about rate of sale and some of the things that you've got to look at. But really, you need to, if you're going to be in that channel, you need to be not just, hey, I'm new or I've got this cool thing. You've got to have kind of your nuts and bolts of your distribution plan ironed out and ready to go. Because at the end of the day, it truly is a partnership. And if you're not willing, or if you don't understand how to be a good partner to the distribution channel, it's not going to work. And that partnership is going to continue to change and evolve over time. So I would say the biggest thing is it's not instant success, which it kind of used to feel like is, you know, you could easily get on the shelf. And it's a lot of work to get it started and to keep it going, because in a moment, everything can change. So that's kind totally of, I think, how it's evolved.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely evolved. You know, just, I mean, 2017, I feel like was the height of get your beer here and we'll sell it for you, to how much beer do you want to bring in? Let's limit the SKUs. Let's focus on what's selling. Not everything's selling. We have too much. And nowadays it really is dependent upon the supplier, the brewer, to really have that plan thought out and really present the plan to the distributor versus leaning on the distributor to help them build that plan. Jeremy, in your experience over the years, what have you seen transition, you know, for, you know, let's look at the future's bright right now. Like what are some positive things that have came out of, you know, the years of distribution with craft?
Well, I think first we just need a clear and sober look at what distribution is supposed to be. In fact, we could even take a look at, you know, we've got the brewery, we've got the distributor, and we've got the retailer, whether it's on premise or off premise. And these are all effectively working together to all, move their brand forward, to move their products forward, to make money, to survive, hopefully to thrive. But in the middle of that triad is the customer, is the consumer. Yeah. And it's easy to forget that. And it's really the consumer that calls the shots. They're the ones who vote with their dollars. And so and I've worked for breweries, I've worked for distributors, and I've worked for retailers on and off premise. And there's an easy trap to fall into where it's like, I need to get my products out. I need to serve my interests, which is very normal. It happens. But working with distributors, you're right, Josh, with breweries and distributors, there is a partnership, but there is also separation there too, that we need to, again, have a clear, sober look at. The brewery is going to push their beer. The distributor is a distributor of widgets. They're the logistics team. Yes. They partner with marketing campaigns. They do partner with sales, but their fundamental job is to move your beer to that store or that restaurant. That's their job. And so I think a lot of breweries need to take a little bit more onus to create that relationship with the customer, with the consumer, because it's the consumer who, if you're in an area that all they do is sell 30 packs of mega domestic brands all day long, then maybe your unique, wonderful craft beer is not going to sell, but don't blame the distributor for that. So it's going to take a lot of getting out there and educating, getting the brand out there, creating a relationship with the brand, creating, going from a customer to a fan. So when I, to get back to the root of your question and just kind of seeing where we're going with that is these brands, these breweries need to be great beer, and they need to create that relationship with their customers. They need to turn those customers into fans, because it's not just another brewery with great beer. When you have people come to your brewery and you create this incredible experience, you take them on a journey, you educate them, you entertain them, you take care of their kids while mom and dad drink. That's where you start creating this relationship, so that they go to that store and they think, you know what? I had a great time with that beer. I want a six pack. And that is going to dictate the retailer's behavior. That's going to dictate the distributor's behavior. And that's going to sell more beer from the brewery.
Yeah, you know, to kind of hone in on that, that was one of the things when I was working for a brewery, after I was with the distributor, that I really wanted to resonate with customers is I want to give them the greatest experience with my brand. As we were sampling at stores, sampling at beer fest, whatever it was about enlightening that experience, that engagement that I had just in the moment, to say that, you know, they can connect that good experience, hopefully with that good beer. So when they do go look for that good experience and good beer, they remember, oh, they had that with this brand. So yeah, that's a great call out. And I think, you know, the future is looking bright. It's fun to encourage breweries to go out there and start creating these really tangible relationships as consumers are looking for that relationship with their brands nowadays, more than ever, from what, you know, some of the stats we're seeing. So breweries, don't be afraid to go out there and create these relationships with consumers and keep really pushing into it. So great stuff, guys. I appreciate it, and we'll see you on the next one.
Cheers.
The Brewlogix craft beverage community drives on-premise profitability through our unified technology platforms. Go to brewlogix.com to get started. And now, our interview with consultant, mentor, and co-founder of Starter Brewery, Laura Lodge.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Brew Knowledge Podcast, brought to you by Brewlogix. I'm Jeremy Storton. I'm an advanced Cicerone and your co-host of this podcast.
And I'm Dan Hornbrook. I'm the Director of Customer Journey here at Brewlogix, and excited to get this one going with our special guest.
Yeah. And our special guest, I've had numerous conversations with you already, Laura, just talking about different aspects of the beer biz, talking about what you're doing, like getting your advice on some of the things that I'm doing. And you have so much knowledge to share. You, there's so many people that lean on you for knowledge and support. One of the reasons why is because you, I'm going to run down your info list, but Laura Lodge, you are a founder of the Customized Craft Beer Programs, a consulting business for craft beer. You're a co-founder of Starter Brewery LLC with our future guest, Candace Moon. You're a co-creator of the Big Beers, Belgians and Barley Wines Festival. And you're also, you know, a past or present mentor for the Brewers Association Mentorship Program. Is all of that correct? And do you have anything else you need to add to this list?
Well, at the beginning of time, I did write a book about distribution. So that's the only piece that I used
right.
to mention. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Distribution insights for the craft brewer, right? Did I, yeah. I skipped over that line item on my list. I apologize, but
totally good.
Yeah. So point being, listener and viewer, if you need some ideas, if you need some advice, Laura's the gal. So let's kick this off. Dan, take us into it.
Yeah. So Laura, you know, as we're talking to some of our tap rooms and really seeing this next wave of growth in the craft beer industry, you know, events, we're going to dive into some events, but really the hospitality focus is getting shifted more heavy into having events, having food programs, having a much richer environment at these breweries. And to lean into the event side of things, can you give insights or what you've seen shift over the past couple years and maybe compare that to, you know, probably prior to 2020? What has events done for breweries, you know, now that it wasn't doing back then, and maybe vice versa too, just a little bit of insights and comparing those previous to COVID and kind of now the growth opportunity that we're seeing in tap rooms?
Well, I would take us back maybe a little bit further. I think originally a tap room was a tap room, like a tasting room in a brewery, right? And there, you went in there because you wanted to taste the beer and that was all. And then those became a little more comfortable and you stayed a little bit longer and there was a little bit more of an opportunity to make it the destination for the day and really spend some time with your friends and more of a gathering place. And I think the evolution from a single tasting room at a brewery that's doing cool stuff, but is primarily distribution focused, to what we're seeing now with a full, almost like living room, full, like we want you to come and stay, the whole experiential piece of we are a destination. And I think some of that is, you know, really wanting to drive business into the place where you get your margins and you can make a business out of this for the breweries. But I think also that's the shift in what people expect as customers. They really want that experiential piece and they really want to go for something in addition to. So I really feel like beer, exceptional beer, not just good beer, has become kind of this given. If you don't have that, then call it something else. But it's the experience that people want. And so I really think that we've moved fully into the world of you don't have an empty square on your calendar. There has to be something in there.
Yeah. So leaning into that a little bit, you know, back in the, you know, years ago, you know, a pint night, maybe something small like that. What's been the evolution recently of, do you say there shouldn't be an empty square on your calendar? What are the new things that are really drawing people into these breweries? Like what are some of the, you know, is it trivia? Is it bingo? Is it all these other things that people are just kind of being really creative? What is the new thing that is kind of taking the breweries by storm that are drawing those people in and helping fill those squares up as, you know, planning is a big portion of that thing.
It's a huge portion of that thing. I would say one of the things I've seen that was kind of came out of left field for me was paint and sip. So you're doing the crafting, like it's a whole different field of experience. I think that's super cool. Yoga's not new, but I'm seeing more of that in the 5K and I'm seeing more book clubs. D&D's not new, but I'm seeing breweries embrace those kinds of groups that are really dedicated to their thing, whether that's, you know, the Parcheesi group or the Mahjong group or the, you know, the people who bring their world with them, but they need a home. They need a home base. And so I'm seeing more of that community driven thing and really reaching out to educators and firefighters and EMTs and people that are really integral to the community to say, hey, we see you. We want you to be part of our world. We support you. Surely there's a place, whether it's meetings or continuing education or you want to do a fundraiser, like we want to be your home base. We want you to know how much we support you. And I think tying that into the community has become the biggest piece, however you do that.
You know, I think about, this is going to sound very much like a back in my day story, but you know, back in the day, you know, all you needed was trivia and some beer and everyone was happy. Right. You know, and, right. And so I think about all these events. I mean, I think about the night before I got married, we all met up, we all had a dinner at a brewery. And if that didn't foretell what I was going to ultimately do later on in life, then I don't know what does. Right. I've been to places where they have lecturers come in, their corporate gatherings, private parties. And then even one as working in the business, I mean, there were expectations that I was going to host a tap takeover or do some promotional thing. Which of these events, I mean, granted, assuming an on-premise has the space, which of these events are still worthwhile? Which of these are just kind of shallow? And I'll load this one in the chamber. I didn't like doing takeovers because it didn't drive any business from my perspective, but maybe I'm wrong. Which of these are still worthwhile? Which of these events are still worth pursuing at this point?
Well, I think tap takeover is an interesting kind of kettle of fish on its own. That implies that you've got guest taps, and that's not always the case. But I think it depends on your customer base, what really, you know, resonates for them. I'm in a place here in the rural Cleveland area right now, and I've been working with a startup. And what appeals here is different than what appeals in Colorado, where, you know, where my whole beer world started. And it's interesting to see. It's kind of follows what I've already seen happen in Colorado in a lot of ways, because it's growing substantially. But in some places, a 5K is going to make sense, and in some cases, it doesn't. So I think that the dog run, you know, those kinds of things that are unique maybe to the personality of the place and space is perhaps more indicative of what's cool now. But I don't write off things like, you know, the free glass, the pint night kind of stuff. That's cool for a lot of people who haven't really seen or been part of a craft beer community before. And I forget, because we're jaded, right? That some of them might be new. We're not needing to reinvent the wheel.
Well, and that's fair, because at this point in my career in beer, I don't need another glass. You know, you open up my cabinet, I've got plenty of glasses, you know?
Cool. I mean, yeah.
But you make a really good point, because there are still those people that are just coming into the fold of craft beer, just learning. We've talked about this before, Dan, just people just learning about craft beer and getting excited about craft beer. Maybe they are stoked to get that free pint to take home.
Mm-hmm. And the educational piece too. I don't think we can dismiss that. People are still at the very beginning of their journey. We need to remember that those people are still out there. And I'll go ahead and dive into the resort piece too. You have to remember that if you have tourists, if you're in a tourist area, a lot of your tourists are coming from a place where they may not have any background at all either. And so to provide some basic education is fun for the aha piece, that the craft beer like freak who's bringing his friends and his family and whatever to this area, they may not need it, but some of the people in their group, they're like, hey, you got to try this. Don't miss that piece.
Yeah, Laura, it's been fun. We've been talking about this, just, you know, what Jeremy kind of said, like the level of education overall in the industry has grown up and it's matured a little bit. But we can't forget the Zoomers down low that are still coming in and trying to figure out craft beer. And we still want to open our arms to that community and that age group to say, hey, yeah, come on. So I love your point that, yeah, don't forget about some of these older events that can still, you know, fill up a square in your calendar and have an impact. And, you know, it's obviously sending them home with a pint glass is that free marketing when they go home. What's the cost of doing business? You know, is it, you know, you pay for the pint somewhere. As things have grown in these breweries, and you've probably worked with a lot of breweries that, you know, back in the day their overall square footage was smaller, and now they're really starting to expand to have private event spaces to host some of these you know, corporate meetings and things like that. When you're talking to a brewery, maybe in the works or looking for this next opportunity to open a tap room, how much of that goes into the conversation as far as make sure you have enough space to have a private room, because this is going to be a piece of the business? It wasn't a big piece of the business back in the day, but you no longer can ignore this, you know, a private event space and having that opportunity to make revenue off those larger events.
It's a huge, huge revenue opportunity. And even if you don't have enough inside space, to have outside space that you can section off is of enormous value. So I would put that way up there in terms of if you're looking to have or expand to be sustainable without any distribution, which I think any smart person should be at this point. Events is a really nice revenue stream opportunity if you can figure out any way to have any small portion of your world that's rentable or usable. And sometimes homebrewers, or we were talking about, you know, D&D or some of those, you know, people like that, they'll use that space too. You know, if they don't want a crowded space and they really need some quiet, they'll want to have that space too. So it's not something that even if nobody's renting it right now, that it can't be used. I would say 100%, if you're in planning, you need to have indoor or outdoor, depending on your weather and where you're located. Super important to have that. Don't want to lose the homebrewer piece, though, and that's a tried and true, and please don't lose them, idea and thought for, you know, your clientele and people you should be connecting with in your community, because they are diehard and loyal. They'll help make those events happen and just get that excitement quotient, spread the word with you.
What does that look like when you say that? Don't forget that community. Are you insinuating like reach out to them, make sure you're, you know, offering the opportunity for them to come meet there, or what do you, give me some more legs on that?
Yes, and you're in the same zone for making quality beer. You've maybe got some BJCP certified homebrewers in your area that could come taste your beers and give you some feedback. It's involving the community in what you're doing. Maybe it's tours, maybe they're interested in looking at a larger system. Maybe they could come in and brew with you, do a collab brew with your homebrew, local homebrew club. I mean, there's so many things that you can do in the education piece of things. If you've got a head brewer or somebody on your brewing team that's excited to share or do some pairings or some tastings and education of ingredients, those are all great things that the public's interested in too. But with homebrewers, you know, there's going to be people that show up, you know, they'll be there.
You know, I have a little bit of personal experience with an excellent homebrew club in Bend, Oregon, and the time that we spent going to breweries. You know, one of the things I noticed, and this is an advantage for a brewery offering to, hey, come and meet at our place, is you have all of these people you just mentioned with tasting training, sensory training, people who are much, much more savvy than the average beer drinker, who are showing up and discussing ideas and brewing techniques with the brewer. One, that keeps the brewer on his or her toes, because they have to make sure that they brew something really good, because these savvy tasters are going to call them on it. Mm-hmm. But you're also getting, you also have just, you know, a front and center seat in just a bunch of ideas and that maybe they never thought of before. So my personal experience and my advice, if I could interject this into this conversation, for any brewery out there, invite the homebrew clubs to your place, own that spot. Get them before another brewery does, because that's only an advantage.
100%.
Would you agree?
And if the homebrewers are telling you your beer's not so great, you need to listen. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Laura, you know, some of the events that we're talking about are some of the corporate, do you give any strategy for a brewery? You know, do you say go master your 5-mile radius businesses, make sure you're reaching out to them, kind of go out and do that marketing saying, hey, welcome. I want to welcome you into our space. Let me know. Do you have any strategy that you can share that you suggest for brewers to reach out to that local community to help bring them in and be aware that they have that opportunity in that space?
Sure. Number one, you need to write it up in a way that looks professional and is thought out in terms of opportunity, the size of the space, the capacity, the number of people. Do you have food options, food opportunities? Is there a setup fee? Is there a private space fee? Simple, clean, professional, that you can hand to somebody. I think that's really important. You also want that same information on your website. And yes, there should be that on your website as well, because people are going to be looking for that if you put it out there. Next, I would say Chamber of Commerce. Go find the Chamber of Commerce, connect to them, let them know that you have this opportunity and that you're interested in supporting and promoting local community involvement that way. Then I would take and reach out to some key community folks, whether you have personal connections with them or you just know who's moving and shaking, or you can find that out. You know, if you're not already aware of that, go find those people, invite them in. You know, first beers on me, come check out what we've got. Let me show you our space. And ask them for their opinion. People love to be asked their opinion. You know, we'd really like to grow this space. We'd really like to connect to the community. What ideas do you have? Maybe it's Kiwanis, maybe it's VFW, maybe it's Rotary, maybe it's all of those people are connected to a billion people. And so that connection, I think, is the way to go, but it needs to be laid out professionally, or you're not going to start off on the right foot with that.
I love it. Yeah, I think the devil's in the details there, right? You got to get the right information out.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. I've experienced all that stuff too. And that's what wonderful advice. I remember, you know, living in a small town, but we had mix and mingles that just rotated different places. But every time we ended up at the brewery, then a lot more people came to that particular mix and mingle for an obvious reason, right? It's like we wanted to go to the brewery. So it, you know, lean into that. One of the things I think about those, I mean, imagine Dan and I are co-owners of a brewery or tap room or a restaurant, whatever it is. Maybe it's a small place. Maybe it's a big place. Not many places actually have a dedicated space for gatherings. Not many people actually have an events person where this is their sole job is just to run and sell events. But you mentioned every square in your calendar should be full. Mm-hmm. If I'm just an independent business person, that's a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. How do we take the intimidation factor out of that? How do we find that low hanging fruit to fill every square in the calendar?
I think some of it's throwing it up against the wall and see what sticks, you know, see what your people like. But of all of the things that's super important is consistency. So I don't know that it's trivia every Thursday. I think maybe trivia is second Thursday of every month. But once you establish whatever that's going to be, it's that way all the time. So you don't have to rethink that or invent that again. And you'll find out too, maybe it is every Thursday and then you just need a Wednesday and a Friday and a Saturday. You know, maybe you have a night that's always music. It can be different all the time. You can have theme nights, movie nights. Again, your Dungeons and Dragons, you can do game nights, card, you know, play cards. Maybe you can do a tournament for euchre or something. I mentioned the paint and sip, yoga, 5K, book club. It can be as easy as, hey, we've got a box of dog treats behind the bar. Bring your dog. You know, that's low hanging fruit. It requires very little of you. And if your dog's picky and needs specific nutrition and you don't like our treats, that's fine. It went on my marketing calendar with a paw print.
Yeah.
I love a dog treat Tuesday. But I think too, what I want to throw in there is make sure you have some merch for some dogs too.
So
you can upsell that.
Yeah.
Get a collar, get a leash, whatever it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard of ladies' night, but I want to see more puppies' night.
There you go. I worked with a brewery that did an animal theme, and she had specific dog breed nights and would bring, it was a whole gathering, everybody who owned collies or everybody who owned pugs. Fun.
You get a real passionate crowd around that for sure. Versus different breeds.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I ask a quick follow-up question? Because you use the word consistency. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that, I'm just kind of going back into my brain and my history, my highlight reel. And I think the value of consistency is you're training your customers that there's always something going on. So come out any night, we're good. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that coin, I also think about event fatigue for staff, for customers like, oh, I don't want to, every night I go, I don't want to listen to to trivia or have puppies in my lap. Sometimes I just want to go and read a book or something like that. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on event fatigue or the downside of consistency?
Well, some of the point of events is just that marketing piece for social media. If you're having board game night, all your staff needs to do is open up a couple of games and set them out on a table. That's it. You don't have to monitor it. You don't have to sign anybody up. You don't have, there's nothing you need to do. You literally just need to have a couple games available. So it can be really, really easy. And I would say that that is your goal. If you're looking at yoga or this paint and sip, for example, that's somebody else from the outside who can do all the bookings and collect all the money. And all you have to do, they walk in the door and whoever's organizing it includes a pint in whatever they're charging their people, settles up at the end of the day and they're gone. So I think that the key to events is A, the lowest cost possible, unless you're going to throw a shindig. And the other is the lack of brain damage, to your point. You need some really simple cookie cutter stuff that happens all the time that your staff is like, ah, oh, thank God, all I have to do is hand out dog treats today. And to that point too, I think one of the things that we learn is if you've got a really busy Saturday all the time, especially in the summertime, if you've got a really busy Saturday and you're maxed out on customer service and you're maxed out on staffing and you're maxed out on space and you're maxed out on parking, you don't need to add live music.
Yeah, right.
Right. You're going to add that many more people that you can't serve, that there's no parking for, that there's no seats for, that there's, you know, make sure you're mindful of where do you need that expense and where do you need that hubbub? You don't need it. You're full. You're at capacity. You cannot serve any more people in a good way. And I think that that's a really important metric to keep in mind.
I love that, you know, sometimes the low-hanging fruit is the best thing. And I say that because I think what I've seen and what I've been marketed to and sold on personally is even if you just have the games, I went to a brewery this weekend and they just had the game sitting on a shelf, the board games and things like that. If you just say, you know, board game night on Tuesday night and you literally don't have to do anything, but your marketing is you're giving people a reason to come in. And you just have to share that through social media, through whatever, you know, outlets you have. But people are just looking for that reason to come in. And it doesn't have to be a big lift. It can just be kind of more of an awareness. Hey, you can do this here. So I love that, you know, take care of that low hanging fruit, fill that square with something that can be just as simple as a social media post.
Yeah. A puzzle is another one. Even, you know, family night, make sure you've got some kids puzzles that are like 20 pieces. I mean, that's fun for everybody.
Yeah, that's perfect. Laura, thank you so much for coming and sharing your insights. I know this is a short amount of time to try to squeeze in as much as we can. But ultimately, if someone wants to learn more about what you do and learn from your vast knowledge and experience, where can they go to find you?
A couple different places. Startabrewery.com is an easy, back to low-hanging fruit, right? Easy place where it's got a ton of resources. I'm Laura at, L-A-U-R-A, at startabrewery.com. Customized Craft Beer Programs, also Laura at customizedcraftbeerprograms.com. Website also is good there too. Happy to brainstorm with people. Happy to hear what you're doing and just kind of learn a little bit as I go. The mentorship program has been good for that. You know, you learn all sorts of crazy things that happen out there.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time again. Dan, do you have anything you want to finish off with?
No, I suggest people go find her and get on that startabrewery.com. That's a vast website of tremendous amount of resources. So start there for sure if you don't want to reach out. So thank you, Laura.
Yeah. And the price is right on that stuff too, right?
Yes.
Free is always the best one, right?
Free is best. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming and thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
The advice on this show is obviously not a one-size-fits-all solution. The goal is to provide ideas that will either work for you or stimulate other ideas on how you can improve your business. We hope these conversations were helpful, but let us know what works well for you. Until next time, cheers.